You guys can have a seat. Well, good morning. All right. Hey, if you guys hadn't heard yet, it's a special day today. Hey, if you don't know me, my name's JT. I'm one of the pastors here at Freshwater. I see some new faces, so if I didn't get to meet you today, I would love to meet you. I got to meet like three or four new people just before service. There's more in here. Please come find me after the service. I'd love to introduce myself, find out how you made it to Freshwater Day, and answer any questions. And open up your Bibles to Ephesians 4, Ephesians chapter 4. That's where we'll start today when we get into the Word. And so, I remember a few years ago, probably 4 or 5 years ago at least, I was talking to another pastor, and I was asking him for advice. I actually have two pastors that mentor me, both in their 60s, one's 70 now. Actually, they're both in their 70s now, I think. We all should have people older than us, more spiritually mature than us, that are pouring into us, that we can go and ask questions and learn from their wisdom, right? And so I was talking to one of those, it actually wasn't one of those two, I was talking to another pastor. When I meet older pastors, one of the first things I usually ask them, hey, share what you've learned over. What as a younger pastor, especially when I was newer in church planting, what do I need to learn? And he gave me some advice, and it surprised me. I don't remember exactly what he said, word for word, but it was along these lines. He said something along the lines of, when I first became the pastor of this church, man, we had a vision for a community like you do. Because I shared him the vision for Freshwater, to reach our community, to be a part of our community. And he said, we had that vision also. And in many ways, we did some of those things. We did reach out to the community, but over time, somehow we lost it. Somehow we lost the vision for it. And I don't really know where. And I don't really know when. But somehow over time, we became just focused on what we were doing in the church. We got so focused on our ministries and what needed to get done and all the people that God had called me to shepherd well, which is a really good thing. But over time, the outside just kind of got lost and they just got really inward focused. And so his plea with me, he's like, do not lose that as a church, because we're trying to get it back. And it's so hard to get it back. It's when you hold on to it and you stay focused on it, you can keep that moving forward. But once you get off that train, it's so hard to swing it back around. He's like, do whatever you can to hold on to the vision that God gave you. Church, that's why we're doing this vision series right now, the first 3 weeks. If you've been with us, we've been walking through the book of Romans, verse by verse. That's the series that we're in. But we're taking a 3-week break from that right now to really remember what we are all about. Remember who we are, because we've had a lot going on this year, right? Being in the Dream Center and then moving over to Freeway and the things that are going on, and we've been growing as a church and there's more people here. And so all of those things are really good. It's what God's called us to, but it's easy to lose who we are along the way. And we just don't want that to happen. I don't want to be a church and in 10 years from now, we look back and talk about the good old days when we used to invest in our community and we used to baptize people and we used to reach our city. Do you guys want that? But do you think we can't lose it? Because if any of us in this church, especially those of you who have been around a long time, think that we can't lose who we are, we can't lose that fact of us to be willing to go out to share the gospel with others, if you think we can't lose that, then we're just fools. That's just foolish. Because it's happened over and over and over again. I think Daniel even touched on this. Our flesh longs for easy. You've heard me talk about this before, right? Our flesh just longs for easy. But joy and fulfillment in the Lord is almost never found in easy. I'm not saying it's always found in really, really, really hard things like going to Libya. Like it's not always found in really hard things, but it's almost never found in easy. We never want to be a church that does the easy thing, because it's the safer thing, it's the more comfortable thing. We have to fight for the mission that God gave us. That's what this series is really all about for these 3 weeks. And so, last week we kind of introduced this, and we said our mission statement, the thing that makes Freshwater, Freshwater, is that Freshwater exists to glorify God and advance the gospel. Kind of a churchy way of saying it, but it's a very biblical way of saying it. And so, what we did last week is we mainly focused on that first part. We exist to glorify God, because we got to always start with God. It's when we start with us that we get in trouble. Because the Bible is not the story about us, it's the story about God and His redemption to save us. We're a major part of that story, but the story is God's story, not our story. And man, that is the best news in the Bible, because that takes the pressure off of us to have to measure up to some standard that we can't live up to. Some standard that Jesus actually came to die for, because He was the only one that could live up to that standard. And so we can't start with us. We can't always be going to prayer, always going to the Word, thinking about us all the time. We got to start with the Lord. And so that's what we focused on next week, or last week. And we looked at Isaiah 43, where Isaiah 43 literally says that we were created for the glory of God. It's why we exist, for His glory, to make much of His glory. Not to be good people, not to be religious, not to check religious boxes, but to live for the glory of God. If we can do that, everything else will start playing itself out in our lives like it's supposed to. And so the other main verse we looked at was Hebrews, Hebrews 1. It's a defining passage in our church. And I was going to put it up on the board, but I'm just going to read it to you. I want you to memorize Hebrews 1:3. Write it down. Memorize this. This could be a defining passage of your life because it's a defining passage of our church. Hebrews 1:3 says this. He is the radiance of the glory of God. That is Jesus. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of His nature. And He upholds the universe by the word of His power. After making a purification for our sins, after dying for our sins on the cross, He sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. That's why we talk about Jesus every week here. Because that whole idea, give glory to God, well, what does that really mean? Listen, loving Jesus is giving God glory. Living your life for Jesus is giving God glory. Making much of Jesus and proclaiming His name is giving God glory. There's so much more to say on that, but I don't want to re-preach last week's sermon. So if you missed last week's sermon, go to the podcast and listen to it and catch it up because we really define who we are by living for God's glory first. So what we're going to do this week is we're going to look at how living for the glory of God primarily drives us, compels us to advance the gospel. Because our mission statement is glorify God and advance the gospel. Like I said, we never start with what we need to do. We start with God and His glory. But if we are living for the glory of God, advancing the gospel of Jesus Christ is going to be a part of who we are. It has to be a part of who we are because that's how God built us. To advance the gospel, that gives Him glory. I mean, the last command that Jesus ever gave, do you remember what it was? Matthew 28. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you. Right, that's our call. Go and make disciples. In other words, go advance the gospel. Go tell people about my Son and they'll believe in Him and they'll be saved and then teach them to obey. Because listen guys, getting saved is the easy part, isn't it? God reaches down and He snatches you up and He saves you. Learning to live for Jesus Christ every single day and the ins and the outs and the difficulties of life is hard. So the command is teach them to obey. Teach them to learn how to live this out. Disciple them. Disciple them. So, having the Lances come up here and talk, we support other international missionaries. If you've been to Freshwater, you know we're really involved in the community. Neighborhood Night Out was last night. Unity on Division, I'm going to talk about that later during announcements. So we've got all these things in the community that we want to be involved in. But listen, that's next week. Next week we're going to talk about what we do outside of the church. But I was just talking to some new people before the sermon that here's the deal. We want to be outward focused. We want to be on mission for God. We want to advance the gospel. But if we don't advance the gospel inside here, inside this family first, we will never be as healthy and we'll never be as effective as we should be out there. We gain our power in the Holy Spirit by Jesus Christ in this room by lifting each other up, by growing in Jesus, and that's spurring us to leave these walls. We always have to hold both up as really important. Right, we're not just about doing service out in the community. That's really important, but we're doing it to bring the kingdom of God to earth through Jesus Christ. And so we have to build each other up and be strong here, and that will propel us out of these walls, outside of this family, to take the gospel everywhere else. So this week, we're really going to be focused on advancing the gospel within our own church family. And then make sure you come back next week, because then we're going to talk about what that means to advance the gospel outside of our church family. So, here's what we're going to do this week. We're going to look at two major ways, according to Scripture, that we advance the gospel within our church body. And so here's the first one. The first one is through community discipleship. We're going to look at community discipleship first. And then after that, the second one that we're going to look at today is the gifts that God gave us to lift each other up. So community discipleship and gifts for each other. Those are the two things we're going to look at. So let's start with this. How do we advance the gospel within our family through community discipleship? We'll open up to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. I'm going to start in verse 11. This is another book written by the Apostle Paul. I love Ephesians because it was written to a church in Ephesus, and it's one of the most church-centered, one of the most Christ-centered books in the entire Bible. We're going to start, like I said, in verse 11 in chapter 4. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers, that's the leaders of the church, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we attain until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. That is a defining passage for this church since the very beginning. So this is saying that God gave gifts. And in particular, He gave the gift of leadership to some. People like pastors, people like evangelists for the sake of the church. Now, did you see it there? What did He say was the role of the leaders within your church? Did it say, hey, the leaders are there to do everything, to do the work of the ministry so you can come to church and be comfortable and be happy and attend once a week and then head out into the world? Is that what it communicated? No, of course it didn't. It says, no, the leaders are there to equip you for the work of the ministry. You know how many pastors I've come across and heard stories about, and maybe you have been a part of churches where the pastor basically does everything? They do the leading, they do the preaching, they lead the ministries, they clean the bathrooms, they make sure everything is organized. They do and they do and they do. They just and. But do you think that's healthy for the church? Think about how just unbelievably, how severely that limits the capabilities of the church if everyone's relying on the pastors or the leaders to do all the evangelizing, to do the work of the ministry, to do all of the teaching, to do all of the discipling. Man, there, no. My role, the other pastors, others leaders and deacons, their role is to train you, to equip you, to disciple you so that we can do the work of the ministry. Because together we're going to be far more, so much more than we could ever be alone. And that's the danger of comfortable churches where you just come to attend. Right? They don't, like, so often they don't actually accomplish that much within their communities, within the world, because a lot of people just come and sit. And then a lot of times that's not even the people in the pew's fault, because the leaders aren't constantly trying to train, to lift up, to have people using all their gifts to lift up the church. To help them grow into all the fullness of Christ that we're meant to be, to experience Christ in such a full way that we can't help but advance the gospel. The whole point of equipping all of us being equipped together, is so that we will grow in spiritual maturity. And as we grow in spiritual maturity, we'll experience more of Christ. And as we experience more of Christ, man, if we're experiencing Christ in this way, the lies of the world can't blind us any longer. And the attacks of the enemy can't destroy us. And the sins of your heart won't derail you. And the sufferings of this world won't overwhelm you. Right? That's what this is supposed to be. We advance the gospel among each other. We're for each other. We're using our gifts for each other. So the difficulty that we talked about earlier, because being a Christian is hard. As Daniel said, it doesn't mean your life's going to be easy. But it does mean when the world, our culture is lying to us, suffering's trying to derail us, people are trying to lead us astray. We hold each other together because we're all growing in the fullness of Christ. Then we leave this place in power. That's what the church is supposed to be. Us all growing into the head. The church is so often in Scripture described as the body. We are the body, and Christ is our head. We are growing into Him. Now, at the end of the passage in verse 16, it says something really important. That within the body, again, meaning the church, every joint is important. Every joint is working together. Meaning every person is vital. Listen, every one of you are vital to us being a healthy, growing body. To us becoming more like Christ, to us becoming what we should be. And when we're all engaged in this, when we're all engaged in advancing the gospel among each other, the whole church will be built up in love. Love is a powerful force in this world. And that might sound cheesy, I don't know if it does or not, but love is what is the powerful force. Love is what will break down barriers, will give you the opportunity to share the gospel with someone who's addicted to drugs and has been left alone to be trash in the world, but we love them, even though nobody else loves them. It changes people's minds. It changes people's heart. It drives forgiveness, grace, and mercy. And if all of us, every little piece, are working together to lift the whole thing up, then we all grow in love and we become a powerful force. So, What this is saying is that happens through the equipping of the saints. That comes through the people of the church being discipled. And so the main way that that happens at Freshwater is through community discipleship. And so there's three main ways that community discipleship works at Freshwater. Like the pathway to us all being discipled within the church. And they're knowing God, finding community, and making disciples. Let's talk about each one. The first one, knowing God. This first one shouldn't be much of a surprise to any of us because you're here today, but it's knowing God through the preaching of God's Word. Right? This is the broadest and typically the easiest way that we're going to bring people into the family. It's not always the way. Sometimes you meet people, you disciple them, they come to life. There's all kinds of ways that people can become a part of this family. But the easy way for them to know more about God and begin discipleship is through Sunday mornings. And church, this whole thing is modeled over how Jesus did things. You remember the stories of Jesus? He's constantly proclaiming to huge groups, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000, but he's also consistently proclaiming to his big group of disciples, not just the 12, but there's about 140 plus people that kind of follow him around a lot of times. He's constantly proclaiming to them, teaching them, guiding them. It's this broad discipleship that's huge. This is why preaching the gospel, proclaiming the gospel on Sunday mornings will always be an enormous part of what we do. Because it's what Jesus did. It's not the only thing that Jesus did, but Scripture literally says that Jesus came to teach and preach that the kingdom of God was at hand and call people to repentance. That's what Jesus didn't come primarily to heal. He didn't primarily to change society. He came to preach. He came to proclaim the kingdom of heaven. So that's what we'll do. It'll always be super important. So knowing God through the proclaiming of the gospel is the first way that community discipleship as a whole happens at Freshwater, but it's definitely not the only way. The second way in that pathway that we equip each other towards community discipleship is through finding community. And that mainly happens here through life groups. Like I said, Jesus taught to huge groups, but he also constantly poured into his 12. You know, the 12 apostles, the 12 disciples, he was constantly spending time with them, teaching them. But hear me, they did life together. They prayed together. They worship God together. They learn together. They ate together. They spent time together. And this is what we're trying to, as much as we can, this is what we're trying to model life groups after. Ideally, life groups are 8 to 14-ish people gathering together, discussing God's Word, learning how to grow in God's Word together, praying for each other, and just trying to figure out how we do this Christian things in the highs and the lows of the real world, because it's hard. It's not easy to hold onto your faith and live out your faith in the world that's constantly trying to pull you away from it. And so we come together to preach the gospel together, to pray together, to get in the Word together, to try to hold each other together, to rejoice together, to weep together, to do life together. Because together we're strong. And listen, that just can't happen on Sunday morning. Hear me, I say this with love. This right here is really not a family environment. Right? 80% of you, I don't know what's going on in your life right now. But if you're in a life group, you're going to have 10 people that are a part of this family who are on the same mission together that will know what's going on in your life if you'll just be honest and you'll be open. It's why we say at Freshwater, I say this lovingly, if you're brand new today, hear me, I'm not talking to you, right? If you've only been coming for 1 or 2 weeks, I'm not talking to you right now. But hear me, if you're not in a life group, you're not really a part of Freshwater. Not really. And we're so thankful you're here. I'm not saying I'm not thankful that you're here. But we can't really rejoice and weep together and fight sin together and repent together and pray together personally like this. This is so important. But if we're really going to be the family of God, what Scripture's actually called us to, no matter what your church experiences have been in the past, right? If we're actually going to try to live what God called us to, what it talks about at the end of Acts 2. I don't have time for today, but read the end of Acts 2. It's beautiful. If we're actually going to be that church, then we have to live life together. And listen, if you've ever been in one, you're going to be in life groups aren't perfect. But like, as I say all the time, this church is a hospital for sinners, not a museum of saints. And so your life group is going to be a hospital of sinners too. Sometimes it's going to go awesome. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes people are going to upset you. Sometimes they're going to say the wrong thing. But being in a life group teaches you to forgive and show mercy and have grace. And hear me, even spend time with people that on the surface, initially you don't like very much. Do you know how valuable it is to learn to love someone that you don't like very much? Does that sound funny? It's unbelievably important. My life group over time, there are tons of people in my life group that I never would have been friends with, never would have become family with, except for life group. Do you know why? Because Jesus is enough to bind us together. Jesus is all that it takes. We don't need anything else. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus is enough to make us family. And that doesn't happen on Sunday mornings. Life groups are so important. So important. But life groups are also not the only way to experience this family, this community, more personal type of discipleship. So far, we've got knowing God through the preaching of God's Word, finding community in life groups, and I'm going to talk about how you can actually find a life group after at the end of my sermon. We'll get there. So we're not going to leave that one alone. I'm going to help you get plugged into a life group if you're not. But knowing God, finding community, the last one's making disciples, which all of this is about making disciples, right? But particularly making disciples. Because even though Jesus spent time preaching to the groups, the big groups, He spent time with His 12, He also spent time with, for sure, we know for sure, Peter, Paul, and James specifically. I'm sure He spent time one-on-one with all of the disciples, but we have stories about Him spending time with just them, to pour into them specifically, that one-on-one, one-on-two type of relationship. It's so valuable that we have that. Like I told you, I have two mentors in my life that disciple me. Every time I meet an older pastor, I'm asking him for his wisdom, for him to give me anything that he's got to help me from making stupid mistakes as a pastor of leading, because I'm not perfect. That one-on-one thing is so important. For some of you that have heard this before, maybe some of you feel like, I just don't have time for that. I understand where you're coming from. I don't have time for that. A lot of other people are like, I don't know how to disciple someone. I don't know how to be discipled by someone. I get that too. Somehow we've lost that in the church. We've held really tight to that first thing that Jesus did, proclaiming to everyone, but somehow we've lost a lot of that one-on-one thing that He did. Like literally, like Peter became the head of the church, and it came before Jesus pouring into Peter specifically to prepare him for that. To prepare him for that. But somehow we've lost that. I'm telling you, I don't know that it's the best way to grow. I think it is. I think one-on-one discipleship where you're fully committed to each other is the single greatest way for you to grow quickly in the Lord. And I think for different people, it could be different things. But for me, it absolutely was. Hearing the preaching of the Word, not my preaching, hearing of the preaching of the Word has been absolutely vital to my growth. I mean, just huge. Listening to my favorite pastors that love the Word of God has been huge for my growth. Life group has been so vital, so huge for my growth. But personal one-on-one discipleship has done more in my spiritual growth, my maturity, my wisdom than anything else, I would say by far. You know, if you talk to Denver, an example, Denver might say life group has been more important to him. I'm not trying to weigh one against the other, but it's so absolutely vital, because for most of us, learning to actually fall in love with Scripture, learning how to handle Scripture rightly and how to have it affect you in your life and how to experience God in His Word is probably going to happen for most of us through one-on-one, one-on-two discipleship. Because you know what, in life group, you can just come and not prepare for a second. Not think about the Sunday sermon for a second. And if your life group leader is worth anything at all, and our life group leaders are awesome, you come in, they're going to spur conversation, they're going to read the Word, you're going to start talking about it, God's going to stir in your heart, and you're going to have a great time at life group. But you don't ever have to open God's Word to have, please do that. But just being honest, you don't have to prepare in any way on Sunday mornings, do you? You don't have to ever open the Bible for a year, and you can experience God and grow a little bit because of Sunday mornings. But the thing about discipleship is, if you're going to do it well, and you're going to grow, and you're going to be committed to someone, you have to open up the Word of God. And you have to be honest about, I got a lot out of this, or I didn't get anything out of this. Can you help? I don't know how to get anything out of this passage. Could you help me? I want to, but I didn't. Like that. What a great thing to say. That doesn't reflect poorly on you. That reflects great on you, that you're being honest about, I don't know how to do this well. Can you help me? Discipleship, I think, is the most powerful, but it doesn't happen very often because it's the most difficult, because you have to be committed. You have to be committed to the Word. You have to be committed to praying for the other person. You have to be willing to be giving your time. And if you don't give the time, discipleship doesn't work. I said it in our... Brandon did a great job, and my wife did a great job of leading our discipleship meeting on Thursday. And one of the things I said in there is, if that you don't give yourself to discipleship, it doesn't work. 90% of the time when someone says, I just wasn't getting much out of it, when I start asking questions, they weren't consistently in the Word. They were reading the passage for discipleship 30 minutes before the meeting. If they read it at all, or maybe the day before, but they didn't spend any time meditating on it, dwelling on it, trying to learn from it, asking questions throughout the week as they're struggling with the passage, asking their discipler, man, I'm struggling with this, could you help give me some stuff to spur me along? That's what it takes, and it's harder. Doesn't that sound harder? We want to talk about something that will just ignite your heart and your soul for the love of the Word of God, for the love of God, and just lead to a huge spiritual growth. One-on-one discipleship is powerful. It's powerful. I highly encourage all of you to get involved in a discipleship relationship with someone who is either more spiritually mature than you or older than you. And then have someone else that you're walking with it to. Because I tell you what, I get just as much out of the discipleship relationships that I have as other people do. The pastor the main pastor that mentors me, he always says this. He's like, JT, I think I get more out of this than you do. Why are you always thanking me? Discipleship is powerful. Not only that, like I discipled Denver, and I told him this the other day. Denver, we'll walk through a discipleship relationship. I've been, 5 years? Crazy. We've been walking through life for 5 years. And I tell him, like, I'll ask him about my sermons. He'll give me feedback on my sermons. I want feedback, like how I can get better, right? I always want to be improving. And Denver said some super insightful things to me that have helped preaching. Through me discipling Denver, he's actually in small little parts discipled all of you. How cool is that? He's the disciplee, right? I'm the discipler. But that's how it should be, like building each other up in love. Man, I've spent way too much time on this. I mean, come on. I need to move on. But if, babe, will you stand up? Brandon, will you stand up? My wife, I'm sorry. I didn't tell her I was going to do this. If you're interested in discipleship, come talk to one of these two people. We're launching discipleship right now. They want to get you in a discipleship relationship. They want to prepare you to be a discipler because you're more ready than you think you are. Okay, you guys can sit down. So, community discipleship. It happens through knowing God, through the preaching of the Word at Freshwater. It happens through finding community in life groups, and it comes through making disciples, learning to be a disciple and making disciples in one-on-one, one-on-two discipleship relationships. I encourage you all to be involved in all of those things. The second major way that we advance the gospel within our church, the first one was community discipleship. The second one is using our gifts, using the gifts that God gave us. Do you know that God gave you specific gifts for the sake of the church? When you were saved, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, God gave you gifts. And He talks about it in Scripture all the time. I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians 12. If you have Ephesians, just go left in your Bible. Go left in your Bible to, if you go to Romans, where we've been, you're too far, just a few books to the left. 1 Corinthians 12. This is another book that was written by the Apostle Paul to the church in Corinth. And there's a lot going on that I don't have time to break down today. But one of the things he was trying to get them to understand is that they all have gifts. And again, it's referring to the church as the body of believers. And he wanted to understand that God had given all of these gifts to all the people so that they could use them for each other, so that they would be more healthy, so that they would grow. So with that kind of as our context going in, look at 1 Corinthians 12. We're going to start in verse 18. We're going to read through verse 27. So stay with me because this is so good. Another defining passage of our church. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 18. But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, the church, each one of them as He chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. Man, highlight that. Those that seem to be weaker are indispensable. Verse 23, and on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. So what's the point here? It's what we've been saying, that God gave us all gifts for the sake of His body, the church. And I think this is important for us to hear. And this gift that God gave you is not primarily for you. Did you hear that? We can get tons of joy out of using the gift that God gave us. It'll help us live in our purpose, but that gift is not primarily for you. He gave it to you for the sake of others, for you to use for the sake of others. So some of you think that anything that you have to offer to the church is small. Maybe you're new to the church. Maybe you haven't been involved in a long time. Maybe you just think that you're not that gifted. But did you actually hear what the passage said? It said that those gifts that you feel like are small are absolutely indispensable to the church. That they're unbelievably valuable to the church as a whole being healthy. Right? I always look at it, the body, we're using the body as an example. Can we survive without an eye? Can we survive without a hand? Can we survive if we lose a foot? Yeah, people do it all the time, right? And they go and they live pretty full lives. But can we ever be as effective as people if we lose an eye or lose a hand or lose a leg? Can we ever be as effective as we would have been if we were completely whole? The answer is no. Right? And so the point that it's making here, yes, you can survive without those things. Yes, if you feel like your gifts are small or you don't know your gift is or you're not involved, we can survive without you. But is the point the survival of the church? Are we just trying to survive? No, we want to grow and we want to be healthy and we want to be just a force for the sake of the gospel here in our community and to the nations. We want people to know and hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and make much of Him and to celebrate and for people to say over and over, I love Jesus, I love Jesus, I love Jesus. That's what we want. So you may think that your gift's not that important or it doesn't matter that much. I promise you, Scripture is promising you that it does. It absolutely matters. It absolutely matters. So whether you preach on Sunday morning, or whether you just have the gift of service, so you clean bathrooms after the service, or whether you work in His kids, all of those things are valuable, all of those things are indispensable, all of those things lift up the entire body. Now, some of you are like, well, I don't know what my gift is. And I get that. In Scripture, there's a list of 20-something gifts. Go look them up. Just research gifts in the Bible and you can go and you can get a list of all the gifts that are listed in Scripture. And we can take gift tests that tell us what gifts that we have. And I think all of those are fine and they're good and doing the research. But listen, you want to find out where you're gifted? You want to find out where God is calling you? Just get involved and serve and God will reveal it. Just be involved and serve and God will reveal it over time. If you've ever been to Freshwater, you've heard me say before, I never wanted to be a pastor. Never in my plan, never my desire. Man, I don't know, that it was never your desire to be a missionary to Libya, right? But that's where you're going. Like, you just started following God faithfully, and that's what He revealed. I had no idea that God had gifted me to preach. Didn't know it. When I started actually getting really involved in the church, do you know what some of the first things that I did? Stack and set out chairs. That was my ministry to the church. Chairs. And then it was staying after service to help clean up. Clean bathrooms, sweep, mop. That was my big gift for the sake of the church. Right? And then later on, I moved on to His kids at a church. Listen, I am not gifted to be in His kids. I love kids. They're great. I love my kids especially, right? Kids are great. But was it my gift? Were kids my gift? No. There was a need to serve in the His kids section, so I just went and served in the His kids section. Like, I knew I was supposed to serve, so I looked around and I asked around, where are the gaps? Where do I need to serve? Where do I need to go? And I just started to serve. And God, through that, started radically changing my life, how I viewed everything. And part of the reason that I'm standing here today is I just said, yeah, I'll serve. Just tell me where to go. Let me just be humble and serve. And now God's got me up here proclaiming the gospel. It's crazy what God will do. God revealed my giftings to me. And if you get in and serve, He's going to reveal your giftings to you. So some of you know exactly where you're gifted. You know where you love to serve. And some of you don't. But the key is just not to stand on the sidelines. Do you know why? If you don't retain anything else from this section of my sermon, retain this. Because if you don't serve, we are all less without you. We'll survive. But we're less. God has all given it, He's given us all gifts so that we could be more. The New Testament screams at us that when we are fully engaged, when we are using our experiences and our time and our resources and our money and our wisdom and all the things we've been through and our gifts to serve each other, we are far more than we could ever be alone. So much more. The New Testament screams at us that together we're strong. And you may not feel strong, and you may not be strong, but if you are part of this body, if you are involved in the ways we're talking about, you'll feel more strong, you'll be more strong because we're in it together. Together lifting each other up, serving one another with our gifts. That's how we become an unstoppable force for the gospel. Because hear me, I think somebody said this the other week, the church can't be stopped. Our church can be stopped, but the church can't be stopped. It is God's mission to the world. All we have to do is be faithful to what God has called us to. And listen, Freshwater Church cannot be stopped. Because God has chosen churches like ours, people like us, the saints, to advance the kingdom of God. Who are we? Nobody. But that's how God chose to do it. By Jesus Christ dying for our sins and then living inside of us through the power of the Holy Spirit. We are empowered to be God's answer to the world. All we have to do is be faithful to what He's called us to. And we can't be stopped. So maybe for you it's the prayer team. Maybe it's working with the youth. Maybe it's the connection team that helps get people connected to the church and sets up the coffee for you every week that you just think shows up magically and you drink it and it's awesome and you have your six cups. Somebody was like really faithful so that you could drink that six cups of coffee and jitter while I was preaching. Maybe it's worship. Do you know our worship team is open? You want to be a part of the worship team? Just ask somebody on the worship team saying, I'd like to at least talk about what it's like being involved. Don't sit back and wait for somebody like, man, I wish somebody would just ask me to be a part of the worship team. That's not how it works here, right? You want to be a part of the worship team? Because we have like unbelievably talented people at our church. It's crazy how many talented people. Come talk to somebody in the worship team. They would love to include you and talk about what it means to be on the worship team. Just ask. Maybe it's his kids. Maybe it's the cleanup team. And we don't technically have a cleanup team. Where's Rhonda? Is Rhonda in here? Stand up, Rhonda. Yes, you're standing up. That's Rhonda. Do you know for the last month, Rhonda has been cleaning, not by herself, but mostly by herself, because there was other people who were leading ministries that were staying an hour before and an hour after. Whoever, who were already giving so much of themselves, they were staying because, get back up. So I talked to Rhonda and she said, I'll lead that team, but here, let me clean by myself for a month, month and a half to figure it all out so I make sure I don't waste people's time. And after I figure it out, after a month of cleaning by myself, I'll build a team. How awesome is that? Who says things like that? Rhonda does, because her gift is service. You can sit down. So that team hasn't been built yet. But hey, if you're thinking, man, I love to serve. I don't need to do anything fancy, but I can clean bathrooms. I can take out a trash. Like everybody thinks that somebody else will do it. Ministry leaders who are already maxed out are doing the cleaning before and after church. What if you could come in, like I think what we're talking about, Rhonda, is like once a month, come in 30 minutes early, stay 30 minutes late. That's it. That's the whole ministry. You come 30 minutes early and do a little bit of mopping and empty a few trashes. If you're willing to do that, the team's not there yet, but go talk to Rhonda. Go talk to Rhonda. Maybe it's the production team, the guys that make this happen every Sunday with the slides and the music. They need help. Maybe it's production. Maybe it's outreach, our outreach to the community. Our outreach team needs to be huge and growing and strong because we don't want to just do nice things in the community. We want to make disciples of Jesus Christ. We want to bring people into the family of God, and we're going to love them no matter what. Whether they come to our church ever, we're going to love them and serve them and show them the love of Jesus Christ. But the end goal is for them to get to know Jesus and become a part of the family of God. So maybe you'd be a part of the outreach team. Maybe it's international missions. Right? We're starting a team right now that's going to support our missionaries like the Lances. Like their main responsibility is to reach out to them, to talk with them, to send care packages if needed, find out when they're coming back for a year, how we can help them in their furlough, and help train some of you to go be missionaries to unreached people groups. I'm really excited about that team. Cassie's sort of heading it up. She's like, I'm not the leader. But right, but if you're interested in that, you can talk to Cassie. There's so many ways to get involved. And if you do get involved, we'll all be stronger. We'll all be better. And hear me, I'm not talking to those of you that are already maxed out. There's some of you that are giving so much to the church. Don't hear this today and say, man, I got to do more. Do not do more. Right? I don't want anybody getting burned out. Right? Denny does an amazing job, I've talked about this before, of protecting me as your pastor so I don't get burned out, so I can do the things that God's gifted me to do. Right? And he's trying to recruit, and a lot of our leaders recruit more of you to do the things so the church is more healthy so we can all get done what needs to get done. Right? And so if you're already doing a bunch, but what we want to avoid is in most churches, 10% of the people do 90% of the work. And we've never been that church, but you know right now we're getting closer to it. We're losing vision. It's creeping. Because a lot of us have become attenders. Not a lot, some. And it's okay. Attend Freshwater for a while. Figure out if this is your family. All of that's okay. But over time, that should lead us to being engaged in the mission so that 100% of us are involved. 100% of us are serving. Do you know how easy it would be to accomplish all that God has called us to if 100% of us did just a little? Oh my gosh, we would be unstoppable. We would be unstoppable. And it would empower us to have the energy left to do what I'm going to talk about next week, advancing the gospel to our community and throughout the world. We'd have all kinds of energy for that because we were so healthy in here. This is why we're spending so much time on that this week. If we are healthy here, we'll be unstoppable out there. unstoppable out there. If we were all engaged in community discipleship, and we were all using our gifts, our time, our money, our resources, our wisdom to serve each other, not only, church, will we experience the fullness of Christ and grow in His image, not only together would we be way more than we could ever be alone, but we would be an absolute force to reckon with. And I already think Freshwater is a force to reckon with, but think how much more we could accomplish, how much more we could be if all of us were on the same team going in the same direction of advancing the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost, broken, and hurt world, making disciples of all nations. Oh, it's so good at this church. Man, I'm not even trying to make anybody feel bad. We've got it so good at this church. We're so healthy, but man, we could be so much more. We could be so much more. So, as one of your leaders, what's my job? To equip you to do the work of the ministry, right? So, this is what we want to do. We want to make it as easy as possible, as simple as possible, if you're in here today and you're not really plugged in or you're not in the life group, to be able to engage in those things. So, two things are going to happen right after the service. One is, if you aren't in a life group, after the service, right up there on the mezzanine, behind the chairs up there, all of our life group leaders, all of our life groups are going to be up there. If you're not in a life group, you're looking for a life group, you're not sure about your life group, they're all going to be up there. Please go up and talk to them. Just because you talk to them, you're not committing to being in a life group forever. But it's an awesome opportunity to find out when life groups meet, what's going on in those life groups, what time do they meet, what day do they meet, and just get to know the leaders, get to know the people in the group. And if you're in a life group right now, if your leaders are standing up there after the service, will you just go hang out with them? And as people come up to meet the life group leaders, you could talk with them and meet the people that are trying to find the right place for them inside this family. So I'm strongly encouraging you, even if you're brand new, if this is your first time to Freshwater, listen, I don't want to put undue pressure on you. You kind of walked into a family conversation today, right? I know you got to figure out if this place is supposed to be your family. But what an amazing opportunity for you just to go meet life groups and life group leaders and talk to them and find out what they're all about. Because I don't have enough time to spend a ton of time on it today. Just go find out. You're not committing to anything. Just go learn about what the family of Freshwater really looks like through life groups. So go and talk to them after the service. Secondly, so that's a way you can plug into community discipleship or talk to Brandon or Christy about one-on-one discipleship and then keep coming on Sunday mornings. Secondly, right next to those to where the life group leaders are going to stand, just to the yes, the just awesome Larry and Mary Boyd, God bless them, have created this board that's going to have all of the ministry opportunities and how you can get plugged in at Freshwater. You don't have to wonder anymore. Well, I just don't really know what to serve. I don't know how to get involved. I get that. We haven't been great at getting all that out there before. That's all changing today. So right up there, there's a Say Yes board, right? It's a Say Yes at the top. And all the ministries are listed. And then hanging on hooks or on clips or whatever is a list of all the places that we need people to serve, to plug in, to get involved. And so there's really no excuse. Here's what happens. When we get to our size now, we're not huge, right? But we're big enough now. We're not this like tiny, tight-knit family like we used to be when we were a church plant. That I think a lot of you plan to get involved. Like, want to. You're like, that's a good idea. I need to start serving. I need to get involved in the church. But we're all busy, right? So you leave church, you're like, I'm gonna get involved. But then life gets in the way. And there's this assumption, you may not think about it, but there's this assumption deep in us that somebody else has got it. I want to get involved, but somebody else has got it. And you're not being mean or rude or unfaithful. You just assume somebody else is going to take care of it. And I totally get it. Like, it's just human nature. I'm not knocking anyone for it. But here's the deal. If it is hanging up on that board, no one is taking care of it. Right? If you walk by that board and you see things hanging there and you're thinking, I should get involved, and in the back of your mind, like, somebody else has got this. Listen, nobody else has got this. So if you're looking for ways to get involved, go up, grab a card off of that board. On there, it's listed the role that's needed, the little description, and then the leader. Contact the leader and say, hey, I'd like to get involved. And if you can only serve once a month for whatever you're doing, then just tell them, hey, my schedule's busy. Sometimes that, what? Just let them know and have a discussion about how you can get involved, and they can meet you where you are. And you can be a part of lifting up our entire body. Help the body get strong. So go grab a card and get involved. And then lastly, my last thing for today, thank goodness, is that you can give financially to make this body stronger. Do you know that I almost never talk about money? And as your pastor, I need to repent of that. Because I should talk about it more, because money enslaves more people in the church than probably anything. A trust of money, a reliance on money, holding onto that tight, which keeps them from really being all they could be in Jesus. I've lacked talking about money. I don't talk about money. I probably talked about money 5 times in 6 years. Because I'm afraid. It's not that, fear is not from the Lord, but I'm afraid if I talk about it too much, people will think that we're one of those churches that is just after your money. And we have proven time and time and time and time and time again over 6 years that that's not what we're about. But there's this fear in me that because some of you have had bad church experience, if we talk about money, and that's bad because money is enslaving people and your pastor's not talking about it enough, and I need to repent of that. Because the truth is, like, we are not about your money here. Do you know that I still have no idea what any of you give? Our financial team knows what you give. If you become a leader, I don't find out how much you give. I just find out if you give faithfully. Because you're not going to be a leader here if you're not giving faithfully, if you're not open-handed with what God's given you. Right? I have no idea. Do you know why? I want money to never influence anything that happens at this church. How much you give will never influence. How faithful you are to Christ is what's going to influence leadership and everything else at this church. I just don't care. What I do care is that you are generous with the Lord. With everything that God has given you, you have an open hand with the Lord saying, God, you are more important than this thing. And so whatever money gets you, if you want possessions, if money feels like makes you feel like you have control, if it makes you feel safe, if it makes you feel whatever money, because nobody really wants money. They want what money can give them. And it's not always possessions. A lot of times it's safety, control, comfort, whatever it is. And so I'm asking you to just reflect on your heart. I once heard a pastor say, you want to know how faithful someone is to Christ? Open up their checkbook. You'll see it right there. That's tough, right? That was so convicting for me the first time I heard that. Because it's how open-handed are you with God? Because you know what? Being open-handed enough to go to Libya, a lot of times starts with you being open-handed with your money. Saying, God, I want to be generous with you. Whatever you ask, I'll do. So a lot of you need to start giving to the church. Start giving to other things. So if you want to give to Freshwater, I don't think I've said this in a year or more. If you want to give to Freshwater, go to freshwatersgf.com. We have online giving there. It's super, we set it up super simple, super easy. I'm one of those people, I would never remember to give. I'd always intend to and I'd always forget. But we're supposed to give our first fruits to the Lord, right? And so I have it set up where monthly, a certain percentage of our paycheck just comes straight out and goes to the church. Because I want the first thing that happens in my life to go to God. Otherwise, I'm going to forget. Stuff in life is always going to come up and try to take that away. And so I want to encourage some of you just to be honest about where you are. Am I generous? Am I generous with the Lord? Am I generous with His bride, the church? Because we are going to use your money to glorify God and advance the gospel. We are. We're going to use it to support people like the Lances. We have two more missionaries coming in the next 2 weeks. One's going to Iraq. One's going to the Philippines. We already support some missionaries in Africa, right? We have people in our church praying about going and being full-time missionaries to unreached people groups. We're constantly doing things in the community. We have said to the teachers at Williams, you never pay for a supply ever again. Never do you reach into your pocket, teachers, to pay for things, because Freshwater will take care of that. When the PTA says, I don't know if we have enough budget to pay for this thing at Williams. You know what? I just had a meeting yesterday. The PTA was like, I think we have enough money. Like, never mind. We'll take care of it. Freshwater's got it. We are able to say yes to almost everything. To buying the Freshwater house. To buying the lot across the street so we can tear down that drug-infested, roach-infested house and build a place for the community to hang out. We can say yes to all of those things because of your generosity. That's where we want your money to go. Are you generous? Do you give to God or are you closed-handed? Is that one of those things you're closed-handed with? Your money. Go and pray and talk and ask what God what He wants you to do and then open your hand to Him. And if God's calling you to give to Freshwater Church, you can go online and sign up. It's part of being a healthy church, using our gift, our times, our resources, our wisdom, everything in our life to build up His body, the church. So church, how do we advance the gospel within our church? It's by being involved in community, discipleship, and by giving, like I just said, our money, our time, our resources, our gifts to lift each other up, right? So that we grow in spiritual maturity, so we grow into the fullness of Christ, so that we become more like Christ. And if we become more like Christ, like He was an unstoppable force in this world, we will be an unstoppable force for the advancement of the gospel, for making much of Jesus Christ, and for bringing God glory. And so that we can go out there and advance the gospel to a hurting, broken, lost world that needs you. Church, will you engage in this with me? I pray that you will. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so, so grateful for you. God, so grateful for who you are. a God full of grace and mercy, as we talked about in this song, oh, how you love us. Your love is like a hurricane. Your grace is like an ocean that we are drowning in the goodness of your grace. God, thank you for loving sinful, broken people like us. Who are we that Jesus, that you would go to the cross and that you would literally die so that your blood could pay for our sins? Who are we that you rose from the dead for, so that we could go from the death of sin to life in you, and then be your church, be your missionaries to the world? God, I think most people are at Freshwater Church because they want to be sent. Jesus, as you were sent to us, we want to be sent to the world. Maybe that means our workplace. Maybe that means our neighbor. Maybe that means Tom Watkins' neighborhood. Maybe that means Africa, but we want to be sent. So God, I pray that you would do the work within this church body to convict and stir and bring joy and fulfillment in all the things that you've called us to. For us not to believe the lies of this world that say we have to be busy with everything that the world says, but the joy of our life, the fulfillment of our life, should be serving you and serving your people. So God, I pray you would stir in people's hearts today of where they can serve, where they can give, where they can get involved in discipleship, where they can use whatever you've given them to pour out their life for others as others pour into them. Oh God, help us with this attitude of I need to go get fed. Help us to be people that know that we want to go feed, want to give our lives to others so they are fed, and at the same time they're giving their lives back to us so that I'm fed in return. God, as is with everything, help us to get our focus off of us. Help us to give our focus onto you and to loving and serving your people. God, I pray through that you would make us strong, unstoppable, for the sake of your name, for the sake of your glory, for the renown of Jesus Christ. For it's in your name we pray. Amen. Church, if you need prayer, Tony and Tori are over there. Paul's over there. I'm going to walk over there. If you need prayer, pray about anything today, please come find us. Please come talk to us. Please come pray with us. We would love to pray with you. We would love to pray over you. I love you, church.